Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader, who is coming back from merry old England. Of course, both he and I will be at Chicago Ghost Con this weekend, and we're both very excited to be there. It's kind of like going back home once a year. For Dave, it's literally going back home once a year. For me, it's kind of my adopted home. So I love going back to Chicago, and I love going to Chicago Ghost Con. And our guest today is the founder and organizer of Chicago Ghost Con. On the line with us right now via Skype is Ursula Bielski. Hi, Ursula.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And we always enjoy having you on and talking a little bit about what's going on over there at Chicago Ghost Con and what's new and exciting for the year. I know I'm excited because I'm talking conspiracy theories for the first time at Chicago Ghost Con.
And, I know. It's so cool. I always tell you, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to do? And you just popped right up and said that.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because one of the things that really doesn't get covered, I think people are a little scared to tackle the subject because you can kind of go down the rabbit hole a little bit. But I think I found an interesting way to tackle it without getting into a 4-hour conversation about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's a thin line between careful, theoretical conversation and, oh my God, he's completely lost his mind.
Right, right. And so I've taken plenty of medication beforehand and I'll just, you know, temper myself. So, yeah, it'll be a great conversation and it kicks off on Sunday morning. So it's one of those things where it's also a great talk in that it gets the audience involved, it gets them warmed up, it gets them ready for the day. So. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that conversation with the audience and getting them involved and getting their opinions, too, on different conspiracy theories that kind of trip their trigger, so to speak. So it's
well, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a good conversation with them. Now, this is how many years now for Chicago Ghost Con?
This, I'm glad you asked. This is our 10th anniversary. Our 10th anniversary. I was just thinking about when we did our first one in 2007. It was at the Congress Plaza Hotel, which now is really well known all over the world as one of the most haunted hotels in the world. It was really not known for that at all at that time. And they have 6 ballrooms at the Congress Plaza Hotel, which was built for visitors to the World's Fair of 1893. Mm-hmm. And we had the smallest ballroom, which is haunted, of course. Mm-hmm. They all are. And I think I was so excited because I think we had like 70 people that showed up.
Oh, wow.
Which was, it was a big deal for me, you know. And I think we have almost 400 people coming this year. And we're actually having to shut down the ticket sales because of the space issues. But yeah, I was thinking about, we had, oh my gosh, we co-hosted with the Indiana Ghost Trackers that first year. And our headline speaker was Mark Macy. Remember Mark Macy, the big ITC guy?
Yes, I do.
He was with us and he brought his illuminator machine that would like jiggle all the ions, and people were taking pictures, Polaroid pictures with spirits and things in the background, and it was so cool. And he was our keynote speaker, and he was amazing, and it was just a great time. And we had a ghost tour, and we had a ghost hunt at one of the local theaters after hours, and it was great, but it was nothing like the level it is at now.
Did you get one of those photos with Mark by chance?
I did. I still have it in my office, actually. I don't have a lot of stuff up in my office, but that's one of my prized possessions, myself. My picture with my spirits in the background taken by the Illuminator.
What type of spirits did it find in the photo, or do you want to say?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The way those photos come out, it looks like there are other faces that are superimposed over yours.
Mm-hmm.
And what he would do is take a series of photographs. And so there would be several photographs that were just you. And then as the pictures progress, there seem to be other faces that are over yours. And sometimes you recognize people in the photos. Like I recognized one of my relatives who had passed away some years before. And Mark Macy wrote an entire book about this. And I think, I can't remember the name of the book. I have to look it up real quick. But it's an entire book that's filled with photographs that were taken of people next to the Illuminator. And it's quite amazing. And I think he still has that machine out there. Just about every year I've asked him to come back again and to speak at GhostCon again. But he's gone in other directions. He's still writing books. I think he's still doing research, but he's not doing a lot of the conference circuit anymore.
Really?
So I hope someday he comes back to us. The book is called Spirit Faces.
Okay.
The Truth About the Afterlife by Mark Macy. And it will really open your mind if you need your mind opened. It's pretty cool. Anybody that's interested in ITC, especially photography and video in ITC, Mark has captured... he claims some of the weirdest evidence and most compelling evidence out there. So I think not a lot of people still remember his name because he hasn't been very active. And I wish they did. I always try to promote the work that he's done in his books and things because I don't think a lot of people are familiar with him anymore.
That's kind of sad. You know, we had Mark actually came out, I believe, to a couple of our events as well. I remember him doing the spirit photography, and I'm just pondering that now. That is sad because you think of the span of 10 years, actually, Ursula, and how much things change in 10 years. And some people say, you know, things don't really change that much in 10 years, but you look at really the state of the paranormal field in 10 years and things really have changed, haven't they, over 10 years?
They have changed so much. Something like that 10 years ago, the idea of using electronics or photography or something like that, very willfully like that, not just going to a haunted place and taking pictures, but actually using technology to try and establish communication with the other side. That was really so fringe at that time. People just did not do that kind of thing. You know, I think it was like around 2005 that was really the beginning of like The Ghost Hunter is a TV show. And those were the really first time that you started to see that kind of thing happening in the mainstream. And so even when we did that first conference, it was very fringe to be involved in things like this and to be experimenting with using technology to communicate with the other side, the way that Mark Macy was doing. And I know that a lot of his hesitancy to really be involved and things anymore came from a lot of the criticism that he got. Because, you know, we talked about conspiracy theories and that fine line between being an experimenter and a theorist and being batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he was experiencing that because a lot of the messages that he claimed that he was getting through ITC, not only from the photographs, but more so with, and probably a lot of your listeners remember, that he was working with a lot of people in Europe that were getting extensive computer messages embedded in his hard drive and their hard drives, email messages from non-existent email addresses. They had a lot of images that were imprinted on the hard drives of their computers. And he claimed that they were from researchers that had passed away that he knew,
right,
and that they were talking about things like that they were living on another planet now. You know, and that we have this whole history as the human race of living on other planets and things like this. And I think a lot of people began to think that he was completely crazy, you know, and didn't want to think he had anything good to say anymore, thought that maybe everything that he had done was made up and didn't really have an ear for him anymore. I don't know, you know, I think once you accept the idea and are willing to listen to the idea that the dead live after bodily death, that, you know, making up rules about where you're going to draw the line is kind of ridiculous, I think. And, you know, you really have to be open to all the possibilities, especially now when we have so much overlap with different kinds of investigators into ghosts and hauntings and cryptid research and UFO research. And there does seem to be so much overlap between especially UFOs and experiences of ghosts and hauntings, and the kind of overlap and juxtaposition of UFO sightings and paranormal or ghost and haunting sightings. So we know this is all connected. So dismiss that out of hand seems a bit.
I think of that line you're talking about, and it's funny because over the last few weeks in doing a few interviews here and there, I seem to have hit that line a few times, at least as far as our listeners go, and I seem to have heard about it quite a bit over the last few weeks too, and I ask myself at times where that line is, and it's funny that you bring that up, especially today in this conversation. And if I remember right, wasn't one of the planets that Mark had mentioned something like the planet Marduk or something like that?
Yeah, either that or very similar to that. Yeah,
something similar to that. Inconsequential at this point, but it was up until that point where he had mentioned the planet. And I remember that because he had come on our show actually on Darkness Radio, and he had brought up the mention of another planet. And I remember at that point when he had done that, he had come on first and he had done an entire program on the Spirit Faces book. And we had done, I think it was either an hour or 2 hours with Mark, and people were loving it. And then he came back and he had talked about how, like you had said, like scientists had and different paranormal people had been on the other side and they had been on another planet. And at that point, we started to get a backlash from the audience.
Right.
And I remember talking to Dave about it. And, you know, up until that point, people were shouting about how brilliant Mark was. And then after that show, they were like, oh, come on. How are you not just laughing through this program? Oh, come on. And I'm thinking, oh, come on. How come you didn't at least listen to it and give it a chance? How come you didn't at least let it ruminate a little bit around your head and think, you know what? I can believe in, even if you believe in a quantum physical dimension that maybe we go to, maybe you've ruled out religion altogether and you think that maybe it's a quantum physical plane we go to when you die. Maybe you've ruled out, or maybe you think it totally has to do with religion and we are going to heaven. Either way, you believe in something and that's why you're searching.
Right.
So
exactly.
Why wouldn't it be a planet? Why wouldn't it be, you know, why wouldn't it be a quantum physical plane? Why wouldn't it be heaven? Why wouldn't it be, I don't know, why wouldn't it be the pocket of a giant that's walking around somewhere? Why wouldn't it be a concept that we just can't think of? Why do we supposedly have all the answers when we're just walking around here in the physical and we don't know for sure? But we're quick to draw that line, and I guess I'm taking the long way around on this, Ursula. But my question to you is: in your mind, where do you think that line is with most people? Where do you think people draw that line and go, "I'm not listening anymore"?
Well, I think, you know, even despite the experience that you had, I don't know when you had the experience where you had the show with Mark, where you had such a backlash from people. Was that recently?
No, it was a few years ago, actually.
Yeah, you know, I think things have changed a lot. I really did start to see a change, and you know, probably a lot of people right now will say like, here we go. When we were supposed to have the Mayan apocalypse, remember, was it 2012?
2012.
Yeah. In December, And all the people thought the world's going to end, the world's going to end. And the people that were familiar with the idea of the end of the Mayan calendar said it wasn't about the end of the world. It was about the end of an era, and that we were going into a more enlightened era where the truth about how things were going to start, it was going to start to come out. And even, you know, right when that was happening, I noticed that people were starting to really divide themselves along lines. And we see that so obviously now with politics and things like that in the last few years. Mm-hmm. But it really was obvious to me that people were doing that then. Like, people were choosing their camps, people were picking their sides. And it was really obvious that people were dividing themselves up.
Right.
I am very aware in the last, just the last year, that investigators that I know that have been working in the paranormal field for many, many years have been going very, very uniformly away from investigating one particular kind of phenomenon like ghosts and hauntings or UFO research or cryptid research, and are very aware of the necessity of overlapping these things. And that I really feel the people that I really respect, that I feel are very good at their investigation and their theory, are all going in this direction. The other thing that always comes back to me is, you know, this is my mom. My mom's very scientific. She's also very spiritual. She was going to be a doctor, and she was going to be a nun at one time. She's a very intelligent woman. And, you know, she always told me that even her father, who didn't even go to school, was an immigrant from Germany, didn't go to school. You know, one of the guys that got his education from National Geographic. Mm-hmm. You know, he would look up at the stars with her when she was a little kid, you know, during the Depression, and say, who could look up the sky and think that we are the only people that are here? So for me, always, and it just makes no sense whatsoever that so many people who are interested in studying, for example, ghosts and hauntings, just laugh at you when you talk about extraterrestrial contact or life on other planets. Why is this so insane to people that there would be life on other planets? Where does that even come from that people think that's crazy?
You know, I can kind of relate a little bit to that line, and I could tell you where it comes from only from my perspective, and that's this. At least when it comes to a spirit or some sort of a ghost experience, I've had a dream visitation, or I've had a few dream visitations. I've had an out-of-body experience. I have something that I can relate to there. I've had something that might have been palpable to what could have been a UFO sighting. But it was way far away. It was a light in the sky that changed directions without explanation, which to me, you know, that's typically a UFO. But to me, it, you know, even though I know the odds are against me saying there's nothing out there, to my rational mind, if it hasn't appeared on the front lawn somewhere, if it hasn't made itself known, if no one, you know, even though people have said, well, I've been abducted, or I've had this experience, or I've seen it, if I don't have, you know, in this day and age of Photoshop, in this day and age of CGI, in these days and age of things being faked so easily and people wanting to put one over on each other, I think we become even more hardened skeptics. So I think, to me, I've felt and seen things that I can relate to ghosts. I've not felt and seen things that I can really relate to aliens. So I guess that's where I can kind of draw that line and say, for me, it's harder for me to believe in an alien.
I think, you know, you pointing that out, I have had a very, very dynamic series of experiences in my life that have brought these two things together, which is probably goes a long way in explaining why I'm so open, not only to the possibility of UFOs, but to the overlap between these experiences and these phenomena. And that is my brother, my older brother. He's a year older than I, mm-hmm. Very down to earth. He's a retired Chicago police sergeant. He is a FBI analyst. He is a longtime Naval Reserve intelligence officer, you know, really down to earth, straight line guy, right? Mm-hmm. When he was a kid, he had the bedroom at the end of the hall in our house. He's my only sibling. And I had this bedroom in the middle of the hallway. He, the entire time we were kids, he would have quote unquote nightmares all the time that he was abducted by aliens or that they came into his room. And, you know, we just said, oh, nightmares, whatever. And I was having my own nightmares about ghosts and things like that. So I just assumed that was what he was afraid of. And that's what he was having dreams about. As we grew older, we had ghost and haunting phenomena going on in our house, but my brother would always have more of an experience with these things. Whereas our parents and I would hear footsteps on the stairs. He would also hear the piano playing. He would hear knocking on the walls. He would hear voices. So he had a more intense experience of these things. As we got older and grew up, there were several experiences that I had where I witnessed him in my parents' house when he was even overseas with the Navy, thousands of miles away. And I saw him or heard him in the house. So it was like this out of body experiences or some kind of thought transference or something that I was experiencing about him. About 10 years ago, I got a phone call from him, very alarmed. He was in tears and he called me from, he had pulled over on the highway. He had been doing his reserve duty at Great Lakes, just north of Chicago. And he had just gotten, this is when people were just starting to text each other, and he had never texted anyone or gotten a text message before. And he got an alert on his phone that said, you have a new text message. And so he pulled over to try and figure out how to read it. And he opened up finally the text message. And so this guy, who was now almost 40 years old, who had grown up having these experiences of ghosts in our house and had these experiences of being visited by or abducted by aliens as a kid, and who had these out of body experiences that even I witnessed as an adult, he pulled over and opened this message, and it said, prepare to shed your container.
Whoa.
And the message was coming from his old cell phone number. This is before you could use your same cell phone number when you changed carriers.
Right.
It was from his old phone and his own phone number that was from a phone that was had a dead battery that was locked in a file cabinet in the old bedroom that he lived in at my mom's house when we were growing up. Now, he called me in tears. He thought he was going to die or he was going to be taken away somewhere. And
yeah, I would too.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Crazy. And Verizon, who was the carrier, put something like 7 people on this case for like 2 weeks to try and figure out how he had gotten this text message from this phone that was no longer in service, the number that was no longer in service. And they finally told them it was, they couldn't explain how this had happened. So for me, you know, going through a lifetime of being exposed to the experiences that my brother was having with these ostensible abduction experiences and seeing UFOs myself on several occasions throughout my life, and then also witnessing seeing him and hearing him when he was not here, these sort of ghostly experiences of him, you know, it's very, I guess it's easy for me to do that overlap between UFOs and ghost and haunting experiences, because I've had experiences like that through him.
Hmm. That's a creepy statement. I don't know. If I get a text message that says that, I would freak out, I think, just about as much as he would.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. And especially with the alien faction of it, if I had alien experiences, I'd, you know, the whole shed your human container makes me think that you're going to try to turn me into one of you.
Yeah. And it's interesting because as an adult now, I mean, he has become fascinated with the idea of extraterrestrials and visitations by them here in the United States. He regularly travels to Area 51. He stays there. He's definitely drawn to the phenomena. So, you know, I don't know. There really does seem to be some overlap in how these things happen. And I know, you know, Bigfoot researchers talk to us all the time that, you know, there's got to be some sort of psychic functioning going on that allows these Bigfoot or whatever they are to elude us for all of these years, you know, if that's what they're doing. There's got to be some way that they know we're coming, that they're able to stay away from us, that they're able to influence us.
Right.
Something like that. There's got to be some sort of overlap if these things are real, which there seems to be enough evidence to suggest that they are. So how is it possible that they've eluded us if they don't have some sort of psychic functioning that's higher than ours, or that we at least don't understand?
Yet there's that divide in the cryptid community. You know, even last year at Chicago Ghost Con, you had Jay Bachochin and Mary Marshall. And the two of them together, I think, are an interesting team in that it seems like Mary is the more metaphysical person out of the two. Jay is the more, I would say, down-to-earth skeptical person out of the two. I think that's how they function, if I remember right. And in there, you have the one person who thinks primate, grounded, this is more a creature, an earth creature that has instincts, knows how to camouflage, knows how to use its surroundings, builds nests. And then you have another that thinks that there might be portals, that this creature is psychic, that it, you know, it has its metaphysical background.
Yeah, you know, when you talked about the changes and things over the last 10 years, I would be surprised if there was any talk like that going on 10 years ago in relation to Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah, and again, you know, it kind of covering the last 10 years, it's interesting how you have these little factions and now they split. One of the other things, too, when you're talking about investigation and gadgets and things we use to investigate, you know, you look as far as your smartphone, and you were talking about your brother and his cell phone. I mean, if you could imagine even 3-4 years ago that you would be using your smartphone in an investigation or an app on that smartphone to investigate, whether it be with an iOvilus or any type of app to find ghosts, to me, that just seems out of place.
Even have thought about anything like that 10 years ago. Yeah.
Right. And in that, even 3-4 years ago, it seemed unreliable. And I remember having a conversation with Bill Chappell, in which he said, you know, I don't even know that the iOvilus, at the time he was saying, I don't even know that the iOvilus was as dependable as the hardwired ovilus. Now I know people who depend more on the iOvilus than they do on the original hardwired ovilus and think it's more reliable, which just blows my mind. It seems like the field is, the more it changes, the more it stays the same, the more it changes even more to the point where you can't recognize it. And even so, the players change in it too. And it becomes interesting because you think, you know, even though the tools may change and even though the theories may change a little bit, I guess the tried and true methods of investigating, the tried and true curiosities and theories never really do change, do they?
They don't. You know, the curiosity is the thing. It really is the thing. And I think I've seen a lot more, too, of people getting away from the different tools and using tools to do this and making more use of, I think there are so many more people who identify as psychic or mediums or clairvoyant now. And I see a lot of people relying on these things more and more, and their own intuition and their own feelings, their own empathy at different locations they visit, and their own bodily responses to places they visit, such as feelings of nausea or headaches and lightheadedness and things like that, really relying more on their own bodies and their own feelings to investigate places than using tools. Even though there's still a lot of interest in that, I don't see the hyper interest in that we had maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it seems like you mentioned about 5 years ago, even maybe a little bit further back, everything was so scientific and there was such a backlash against using a psychic on an investigation.
Right.
I think really it was when Paranormal State brought Chip Coffee on board, that was kind of the, oh, I don't know. You know, you're bringing a psychic on board. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, Chip kind of, you know, to use the pun, chipped away at people a little bit, and kind of people kind of fell in love with Chip being on the show. And then other psychics started coming on board, and you had that kind of psychic boom on television. And then all of a sudden it's okay to have a psychic with you now on investigations. And it's kind of a accepted part of investigating again. And you know, everybody forgets that it was Hans Holzer who said you should always have a good transmedium with you when you're investigating. So
absolutely, Holzer method. Yep.
Yeah. So it seems like we're always circling back to the original methods when we try to get away from things for a while, we end up coming back to them.
Yeah. You know, for me, that crucial moment for that was, and I've never been super into using tools in investigations. I'm more of into the history, the folklore, and people's experiential evidence of location. So that's never been my thing. Probably the most I was into that was when I was in college, when I started out doing this. That was probably the most that I did experiments and things like that. But it's been very interesting to me that when I got away from all of that, I started to see, as I did investigations, how obvious it is, the difference between the evidence that you collect when you have a medium present as opposed to the evidence you collect when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I call them batteries or lightning rods. I mean, there really is. And I wish some mainstream parapsychologist, if that is a thing, from the Ryan Research Center or something, you know, I wish one of these guys would do a long-term study showing the difference between the evidence that you collect when there is a medium present and not. Because I've gotten very into EVP research in the last maybe 7 years.
Yeah.
And it is so obvious what a benefit it is to have a medium present when you collect EVP. It's night and day. I mean, you can get absolutely nothing and get the greatest EVP imaginable, class A, one after another, when there's a medium present.
Absolutely.
And I've seen it very prevalently with working with Chris Fleming, especially with Colleen Nottis, who's worked on a lot of the Lincoln Park Zoo investigations with me, with Michael Esposito, who I did a lot of work with a few years ago. These are very, very powerful mediums. And it's just like a battery, you know, it's like a plug in a battery and getting that a huge boost to what you collect. So that to me has really hit home to me, the importance of having somebody with you on an investigation who is sensitive, because it's night and day.
It might even be, if you want to draw another parallel, it might even be like if you're out at a party in a social setting, it's the difference between having somebody who's well-spoken and has a bright personality, being able to talk to people in the room, as opposed to someone who's inherently shy and stands in a corner. If you don't quite know how to talk to people or talk to spirits, you're never going to attract anybody to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, and if you just stumble into a room with a recorder and maybe you're not quite warmed up to the room or have a rapport with the room, you're probably not going to get much, if anything at all.
Yeah, absolutely. They attract them. Like Colleen said, they know I'm here. They're coming. Yeah,
yep, exactly. I tell you what, Ursula, let's take our break right here. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about some of the more interesting things that are going to be out at Chicago Ghost Con this weekend. Like I said, I'm excited to talk about conspiracy theories, but there's lots of stuff, not just ghosts out there, folks, this weekend at Chicago Ghost Con. We're talking about all things paranormal. And when we come back, we'll talk to Ursula about some of those things that you'll see this weekend out at Chicago Ghost Con.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. This weekend, Dave and I will be at Chicago Ghost Con, one of our favorite conventions to be at all year long. It's my home away from home. It's Dave's home as well. And we love going back home for this convention. Ursula Bielski, the founder and the organizer of Chicago Ghost Con, is on Skype with us tonight, and we are talking about Chicago Ghost Con. There are, and folks, this is the last convention that Dave and I will be together at for the year, so you're going to want to get out there. There are limited tickets, and when I say limited, I mean very, very few available left for this weekend. Festivities kick off their Saturday and Sunday this year. Saturday and Sunday this year. So be sure to get your tickets now. If you don't get them now, you're not going to get them. You can do it one of two ways. You can go to darknessevents.com, click on the banner, get your tickets. Or Ursula, if there happen to be, which I don't expect there to be, but if there happen to be the stray ticket or two left, can people get them at the door?
They can definitely come in. We'll probably let you in.
maybe if there's a spot.
If the fire marshal lets you in, we'll let you in.
Okay, and that's this year. It's in Lombard, Illinois. Is that right?
It is. It's quite amazing because we had some trouble with our venue, and it finally worked out far better than the original plans were. We're going to be at the Brower House in Lombard, which is right off of North Avenue and Rowling Road in Lombard, which is right near O'Hare. It's right by all the major expressways, free parking. This is a place that hosts a lot of hearse shows and car shows, and they're totally into the paranormal. So probably some of your listeners have been to hearse shows there in the past and great concerts. And Steve Brower, the owner, is just opening his brand new music hall next to the old pub, which is going to host great concerts. In fact, I just saw yesterday they're having Flock of Seagulls come next winter.
Really?
To their new music hall. Yeah, so it's going to be like the premier music venue in the western suburbs and one of the biggest music venues in Chicago.
Awesome.
Coming up. So yeah, it's a great, fantastic place. They even have a lot of like horror and death themed items on their menu. So it's the perfect place for us.
You know, I saw that. I peeked ahead of time and I was looking at the menu, and there looks like some awesome food there. That's for
sure. The food is so good. The drinks are so good. And we're going to have our own bar too. I think the bar that's in the new venue is the biggest, the longest bar in DuPage County.
Really?
Which is a pretty big place. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. We have more than 55 vendors and exhibitors. We have more than 20 speakers. We've got, oh God, all of our old great friends like you guys coming. Jeff Belander's coming, coming back after he climbed Kilimanjaro.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming back to us, and a lot of great new people too. You know, we talked about how things change, and really over this last year, you know, we're the old fogies now. These young kids coming in full of all their piss and vinegar, and we got some of those young kids coming, like the Newkirks are coming with their traveling museum of the paranormal and occult.
Yep.
Every time I look at them, I just think like Ed Lorraine Warren, like in miniature version.
They really are.
It's so funny. There's a whole new generation, and they're cool. They're really into like the retro ghost lore stuff and the retro, you know, they're really respectful of all the old people, and they're great. And I'm excited.
Yeah, the Newkirks are absolutely awesome. And their traveling museum is something to see too. So yeah, they'll be awesome. And you pull off quite the coup. You've got Jeff Mudgett appearing as well.
Well, we do. You know, Jeff Mudgett and I go way back. I'll tell you this. I tried to get Eric Larson to come to our Ghost Con the first year that Jeff came. And Eric Larson, of course, the author of Devil in the White City.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to come and talk about the Holmes curse that he had written about in the book. And Eric Larson is booked for like the next 30 years.
Oh, wow.
You know, to talk about the Devil in the White City. So I knew people were really interested in that story, and I found Jeff Mudgett, who had written this book, Bloodstains, about the Devil in the White City, H.H. Holmes. And then I discovered that he was the great-great-grandson of H.H. Holmes, so I invited him to speak at our conference. And Jeff always credits that appearance with kind of the beginning of what happened with his career as trying to find out who he was and trying to make something great of it, you know, to really help people with his revelation of who he was. So our events, our Chicago Ghost Con, was the first time that he publicly spoke about his relationship to H.H. Holmes and signed books. And it was a memorable event for him. And the next year, we actually featured him in our PBS pilot, The Hauntings of Chicago, where we have the footage of him and Kim Estes, who just won the Emmy Award for Best Actor in a drama on television. They had visited the site of the murder castle, which is a post office today, and had gone down to the basement. Mm-hmm. And so we featured that footage as part of the PBS documentary. So Jeff always credits us with helping to tell his story from the beginning. And so he was very gracious to come back to us after the tremendous success of the American Ripper series. And we already heard that NBC is going to come out and interview him on Sunday when he appears. And listeners can come either for the whole event on the weekend and enjoy all of our speakers. But we have actually made a separate event on Sunday night, October 8th, because of all of the people that want to come and see Jeff speak about American Ripper. And so there's a separate ticket that people can buy. If they don't want to come for the whole weekend, they can pay $15 and come on Sunday evening, October 8th, and see Jeff Mudgett talk about the road to American Ripper and about his experience with the show. And then the great Chicago illusionist Ron Fitzgerald is going to do a fantastic illusion show as part of that night as well. So that's going to be our close to the weekend. Everyone who has a ticket for the weekend has a free ticket to that show. Wow. But you can also purchase a separate ticket for $15 to come and see Jeff Mudgett talk about American Ripper and see Ron Fitzgerald's illusion show Sunday night.
Now, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a hint here. I don't want to tip your hand, but is the bus tour sold out for the night after?
The bus tour is sold out right now. Okay. Because we have only sold half of the tickets for that tour. So what Tim's talking about is the day after the end of GhostCon. So Monday, October 9th. Jeff Mudgett of American Ripper is going to come and host a Chicago Hauntings American Ripper Devil in the White City tour. That is going to leave from the Congress Plaza Hotel. And this is Columbus Day, so I know a lot of people are still off. Mm-hmm. So Monday night, October 9th, we leave from the Congress Plaza Hotel on Michigan Avenue at 6 p.m. And it's a three-hour tour by bus. We sold out the half tickets that we put up on sale. We still are going to have 25 more tickets that we will put on sale at the event. You have to be at the event to purchase one of those remaining tickets.
Okay. So that's an amazing tour. That would be like, I'm trying to draw a parallel here, but that's just an amazing offer. I don't know if people can wrap their head around that, but to be able to actually take that tour with Jeff and be able to relive that with his perspective, with his thoughts, with what he was going through and what, you know, his like I said, his perspective on everything as he goes through those sites and even give you behind the scenes stuff firsthand. From American Ripper and his journey and as you're at those locations, I get goosebumps thinking about that. That's an amazing opportunity, Ursula.
It is, and we did one tour like this in the past with Jeff, not long after the Bloodstains book first came out, and it really was an incredible experience. It would be comparable to going to like the Amityville House on Long Island with Christopher Quarantino or one of the family members, the Lutz family members, and really experiencing what they went through at the location. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's living that experience with a family member. It's pretty amazing and a pretty amazing opportunity. So Chicago Ghost Con, folks, you've got to get a ticket for this event. Again, limited tickets available. Go to darknessevents.com right now, pick up a ticket. Even if you're thinking, you know what, I don't know, it's last minute. Listen, there's last minute airfare deals out there. There's last minute hotel deals you can get out there. And you can join us in Chicago. You can do it. You can do it. I have faith in you people. And, yeah. and join us out there in Chicago. It's going to be the premier paranormal weekend.
It's not, you know, for people who have not been to a paranormal conference before, it's not like, and we always say like, oh, you pay more money than this to go to a concert. It's not, it's so different than that. It's, I always go on Facebook every day, every single day. I'm amazed that of the people that I see on my Facebook that are friends, who have created ghost hunting groups or research groups together, who are even married because they met at Chicago Ghost Con or another Ghost Con. It's really this incredible experience that brings people together, and you will make lifetime friends, and lifetime acquaintances and lifetime connections, and change the way you think about everything from coming to an event like this.
Absolutely.
So it's so much more. It's $90 for both days. It's not, it's like 9 to 6 both days. And it includes our big costume party on Saturday night at the wonderful Great Escape in Schiller Park, which is right by our hotel. And it's just, so it's like 2 solid full days of just incredible experiences and meeting people and opening up your mind to all sorts of ideas. And it's fun. And it's so much fun too.
Well, we have a blast every year at Chicago Ghost Con, and like I said, it's our favorite, one of our favorites of the year. I shouldn't discount anybody else.
Really?
But, between you and me, Ursula, it's my favorite of the year. But
really?
But you didn't hear me say that over the air. Okay.
Okay.
did I say that over the air? I didn't hear. But it is. I love Chicago Ghost Con. It's the perfect time of year. Fall in Chicago is so beautiful, and
it is.
And it's the perfect conference. So again, I encourage everybody to come out and have a great time with us this weekend. One of the things that you're going to be presenting, or actually one of the things that's going to be presented at the Ghost Con this weekend, has nothing to do with ghosts and is actually kind of refreshing. You're going to be talking about, or actually you're going to have some presenters out there talking about Mothman.
Well, and again, in light of what we talked about early in the show, maybe it does have to do with ghosts. That's something, you know, let me just go back for a second.
Sure.
So since spring of this year in Chicago, probably a lot of listeners are aware of the fact that there have been a record. I don't know if there's how you can quantify that there's a record number of Mothman sightings somewhere, because there has been many in different places.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had a lot of sightings of this Mothman type figure in Chicago in 2017, going back to late March. We have had well over 40 sightings of a humanoid figure with wings, glowing red eyes in most of the reports, that have been seen around Chicago this year. Really lining up with a lot of the reports that happened at Point Pleasant prior to the collapse of the Silver Bridge, of course, everyone's familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are interesting occurrences. I talked a lot with my friend Sam Maranto, who is the head of Illinois MUFON, who's going to be speaking at the event in October at our GhostCon. And we are assembling a panel of people who have studied cryptids and who have studied Mothman. And we are going to be having a panel on Sunday evening prior to the Sunday evening performance with Jeff Mudgett and Ron Fitzgerald, talking about these appearances of Mothman in Chicago. And it's very interesting because, Tim, most of these appearances have happened along the lakefront in Chicago.
Hmm.
And of course, in the spring and summertime, this is a very busy area with millions of people visiting the lakefront in Chicago during this time. The great majority of the appearances have been in Lincoln Park along the lakefront. Lincoln Park, of course, the original city cemetery in Chicago, a very haunted location. So there's that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But many people have experienced sighting this creature in Lincoln Park. And also further south along the lakefront around Buckingham Fountain, the harbors around Navy Pier and Buckingham Fountain. When many hundreds of people were present, sometimes only two or three people witnessed this. So again, is this some sort of manifestation that's of a psychic nature that's only visible to certain people who are able to perceive it? And that's something that we're going to be talking about from the panel at GhostCon.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that there's the school of thought that Mothman is the, not necessarily the harbinger of doom, but that it's a precursor to a huge tragedy. You know, there's the story that before the 35W bridge collapse up here in Minneapolis, that Mothman was sighted up here. And other bridge collapses as well. If you Google bridge collapses and Mothman, there's a ton of articles on Google about Mothman being sighted around not just bridge collapses but other disasters as well. And you know, you could say, well, did Mothman cause those bridge collapses, or is it just the precursor to say, hey, there's going to be, you know, some sort of incident here? And a lot of people say it's just Mothman showing up to say, hey, there's an incident here. But you know, it's such a strange, anomalous creature. And then there's, of course, the skeptics and the naysayers that come out and go, oh, come on, Mothman, really? You know, there's that line there, you know, there's that interesting line there. And I love to hear the stories of Mothman and the different sightings of Mothman and what it is that people see and how far back those stories go.
Absolutely.
The age on some of those stories are amazing. So it's, you know, there's a rich history to Mothman. I'm looking forward to that presentation. That's one of the ones that, again, the variety of talks this year at Chicago GhostCon is one of those things that it's very interesting. And you always bring a very interesting program in that there's a big variety of speakers and different things to talk about as well. Not just ghosts. So if people think they're just getting, 2 days of strictly paranormal ghost phenomenon, they're in for a shock.
Always, you know, we've always prided ourselves on that. And I think people always think about us that way. We don't have a whole lot of like big celebrities from TV. Although we do have Brian Kano coming with the effort to us this year. He's going to be talking about his work on Haunted Collector, which is like my favorite, you know, celebrity TV show. Mm-hmm. I love that show. It's mm-hmm. such a great show. So he's coming, but you know, we have people, the people that we have are, they're people that have been working in the paranormal for a long time. They really seriously think about the theory and practice of paranormal investigation and phenomena. And I think people have always recognized that. So I'm really proud of our little conference of bringing people together to talk about their ideas. And it's always like that. You're never going to have to pay money to talk to somebody or pay money to get an autograph or take a picture with somebody. Mm-hmm. Like you just buy your ticket and come. And it's not hugely expensive. Just buy your ticket and come and you can hang out and talk to and drink with and party with like these really cool people. And you're not never going to have to stand in line to get a autograph or anything from anybody. You just come and be with us.
Right. One of the, I guess you could say one of the, I'm going to use a kind of a weird term here, but one of the paranormal rock stars out there, at least for the last couple of years, was at Chicago GhostCon last year, and that's David Politis. He was.
Oh yeah.
He's one of the guys who, I mean, you go. I can't tell you how many times a week I get an email or a message. Hey, have you thought about having David on the show? Oh well, yeah,
we've had him on the show.
We've had him on the show. Yes, we've had him on many times. You know, David was incredibly accessible last year at Chicago GhostCon. He had his table. He had his books there. He did an amazing presentation.
Oh my God!
And so it in fact I was riveted to it. I didn't want it to end. And he did. It wasn't like he did the quick half hour, 45 minute version, and he was out of there. Not only was it a very long presentation, but you didn't even know the time passed. It was that riveting. There are these guests that show up to Chicago Ghost Con that, you hear on the air, or you read their books, or you see their TV shows, and you go, man, I wish I could get 5 minutes with that person to talk to them. And believe it or not, you're going to get more than 5 minutes to talk to that person. And this is one of those conferences where you definitely want to show up, because you're going to get more than 5 minutes with that person. So.
What's so funny, Tim, because it's just like, I always tell people that Chicago Ghost Con is so interesting because I have it and I've had it for 10 years just so I could have people come to Chicago that I want to meet and I want to hear that I love. And I have very fringe interests and ideas that I'm interested in. So I always have people that are on the fringe and have this amazing research that they're doing because I want to come and bring them here. And so it's always going to be interesting because I have very fringe interests. And oh my gosh, David Blatis was amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And just so I'm sure your listeners already know this, but his film finally came out, his documentary. Mm-hmm. So it is out, Missing 411. And if anybody has not watched it yet, go online. I don't know if you find it on the CanonMissingProject.com website, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. elsewhere, but wherever you need to find it to watch it, you have to watch it. Yeah. I'm hoping maybe we can bring him next year for a separate event just to screen his film and have Q&A, because it is the work that he has done. And we even have guests that have done research totally not even knowing him, like Scott Marcus and Jay Bachochin did their whole Hidden Truth Project up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, the La Crosse drownings of the last 20 years, mm-hmm. that they did their entire project on those disappearances and those drownings in La Crosse, not even ever having known about David's work, but it's completely connected. So this is an incredible phenomena that's been happening, and everybody should watch David Pilatus's film, Missing 411.
Yeah, and after you watch the film, if you've never dug into David's books, start with the most basic one first, and you will find yourself kind of traveling down that rabbit hole. And believe me, I've got the whole series of books here at the house. And it's fascinating. And you know, last year at the Chicago Ghost Con, David had not only the entire set of books, but he had the map that went with it. And man, yeah. You talk about a package that was well worth the money.
My brother, who I talked about, who had the alien experiences, mm-hmm. and the weird text message, in 10 years, and he's always supported me, but he's really, really busy, of course, with all the stuff that he does. He never came to Ghost Con, but he came last year and he bought like 6 copies of David's books and had them signed. Oh, yeah. Because he identified with what was going on in the phenomena that Dave writes about.
I sat and I talked to him for about half an hour, and then I ended up running his slideshow for him.
I remember that.
I was fascinated. I still am. I think we've had him on the show 3 times, and once I ran one show on Coast. I engineered one show when he was on Coast, and I think I could listen to the guy read the phone book and probably list the people who are missing out of the phone book, to be honest with you, but. He's a very fascinating guy, and really, yeah. when you talk about the different research he's done and how different things are connected and the different stories there, it really is fascinating stuff. And man, I tell you that was your coup. I think last year, I think this year you've got your coup with Jeff Mudgett. And with that in mind, I guess the question I got to ask now, Ursula, is if you had your wish list for coming years, people that when you look out at the paranormal field, And you think, you know, or who would I want next? Or if I'm looking at next year or the year after, or who would I like to pull in and have at Chicago Ghost Con? Who would you pick?
I will tell you, first of all, Travis Walton, who was supposed to come last year. Mm-hmm. And then his agent had double booked him and they booked the other person first. So I would love to have him come. He told me he would come next year. So okay. Travis Walton, of course, of Fire in the Sky. Mm-hmm. But the person I have asked every year for 10 years to come, and every year he tells me, Ursula, I love you. I love your books, your grace. I would love to come, but I just don't do that anymore, is Brad Steiger. Absolutely love him. And, you know, his book, Psychic City, Chicago, Doorway mm-hmm. to Another Dimension, that was the book that inspired me to my entire career. And I would love to have Brad Steiger come and talk to us about Chicago. But he is living his retirement. He's living the dream.
Yeah.
And he says he's not going to do it again. But I don't know. I think if I keep nagging him, maybe in a few years, I can drag him out. I'll see. I'm hoping.
We'll see if we can have Dave work on him, too. I know he makes appearances on Coast. He makes appearances here. And maybe we could – we'll have Dave work on him, too. Dave's very persuasive when he wants to.
I know. I love Fred Steiger.
He's an amazing man.
Sweet.
He is.
Sweet person and such an accomplished person. Yeah.
He would be amazing to hear live, just to hear his talk and his thoughts. And even if he were just free-forming, if he were just riffing or improvising for an hour, he'd be amazing to listen to, just to hear different stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who would you like to have a ghost on?
Oh, gosh. You know.
I always ask people this every year, and I'm convinced there's somebody I haven't considered yet. I like all the old school people. You know, we had Alexandra Holzer a couple of years ago,
yep.
Hans Holzer's daughter.
Yep.
She was amazing.
Yep.
That was really cool. And I just, I was so sad because Ted Sirius died before mm-hmm. I could invite him, the great photographer from Chicago. Mm-hmm. That would have been cool.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the old school exorcists are gone and passed away. The things that really got me interested in the paranormal field are a lot of the people that did are gone and passed away. Gosh, let me think. Who of the current school would I want? Gosh. I don't know. You know who I always wanted to see speak, but now he's been passed away for a couple of years now, is Leonard Nimoy. He was.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
He would have always been fun, especially to have him talk about the years of In Search Of.
And wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. And just narrating and talking about, the possibility of things out there and what intrigued him about doing the program for the time that he did.
Well, you know, for me, my greatest moment at Chicago Ghost Con was Lorraine Warren, who came to speak at Chicago Ghost Con at the Portage Theater.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Probably 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I cried. I just broke down crying when I introduced her to speak. And it was incredible. You know, she is that's the queen of the old school.
Yeah.
Lorraine Warren, whatever you think about their research and what they did, and it's so controversial, you know, were they frauds? Were they honest? And I met her many times and I just thought she was, it's just the paranormal investigator in the dress. My inspiration. I always have my dress on inspired by Lorraine Warren. And I just, it's interesting, you know, I first met her when I was in grad school at Northeastern University here in Chicago, mm-hmm. many, many years ago. And there were like four people in the audience at Northeastern
really?
University. Yeah. Our sci-fi fantasy club got the funds from the school to bring them in, Ed and Lorraine, and there was nobody in the audience. And it was I was riveted. They showed all that great old footage of the exorcisms and everything, and I was horrified, and it was amazing. God. And I was totally drawn in. So those were influential on me as well.
Wow. What a treat. Wow. That would be amazing. You know, if I thought of one other person, and I think he'd be pretty impossible to get, but – and this is just a selfish thing because, you know, I'm a radio guy and a paranormal guy. I would think Art Bell would be interesting.
Oh, my God. That would be incredible. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
Well, you know, it'd be probably a slimmer chance than Brad Steiger. But, you know, it would be interesting to see if Art would – if he would come out, first of all, and talk, and second, if he would even just do a Q&A and talk about his years in radio, and if he would talk about just different guests, you know, if he would talk about John Teeter, if he would talk about, you know, different guests he'd had on.
Oh, my God. I would love him to talk about the weirdest stories he'd ever heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the weirdest story Art Bell ever heard?
It's got to be bizarre. I know that. Yeah. I think, you know, he's told some pretty weird ones over the years.
Yeah.
The one that always got me was the one of his own when he was talking about when he tried to sneak into Area 51.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, great story.
You know, I mean, just, you know, he's got enough of his own stories where I would think it would be pretty interesting just to hear him talk. But I got to think that an hour of Art would be priceless. And I got to think it's probably worth a pretty penny, too.
Oh, like, can you even imagine? I think when some of these like hacks on these like TV shows are like $10,000, $20,000.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, have you talked about this? What's the weirdest story you've ever heard as a radio host? not weirdest in terms of what we already talked about,
yep.
Like the line, but the weirdest. Okay, the scariest, weirdest thing that you thought was plausible.
Oh, God.
The thing that freaked you out the most, that you still think about.
You know, there have been a few. The one that we had a guy who claimed he had worked at Area 51. It freaked me out a little bit. I mean, the detail. Though, you know what freaks me out? It's not so much the details. It's our time traveling attorney buddy. Actually, he would be kind of fun to get at Chicago Ghost Con. Andrew Bishago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because his story is so airtight when he's telling it to you. You could everything he says to you is just, as you put it earlier, batshit crazy. It all comes at you and you go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But the way he tells it is so believable that you go, wow, okay, sure, all right. You know, he claims he was there at the crucifixion. He claims he was there at the Gettysburg Address. He claims that, you know, and in that, you know, in the last time we had him on the show, he claims he was going to run for president. He was going to win. It wasn't going to be this year, obviously, or this last term. But, you know, he claims it was going to happen, which, you know, there's that line, you know, that line drawn firmly in the sand.
But is it? I mean, maybe 1,000 years from now. Under a different name, he's going to run for president and win.
I don't know. You know,
we don't know. I mean, when you think of 3 years ago, all of the things that have happened since 3 years ago, developments in technology that we never even imagined 3 years ago that have happened. When you think of 100 years from now, when 100 years ago, you know, there was barely a telephone.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
seriously, like, what's going to happen between now and then?
But this guy, I mean, Ursula, this guy thinks. This guy claimed he went through this program with Barack Obama, this government program that he was basically raised to. He was raised to time travel. That all these people who eventually went through this time travel program were raised to do important things in our society, whether they became astronauts or presidents, or they were all raised to assume power in the United States somewhere. And then eventually they were all groomed for a high position, even president. And he believes he was groomed for this. I mean, it just sounds crazy. Doesn't this sound crazy? Even coming out of my mouth, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Right? But the way he tells it, you go, yeah, I believe you. The way I say it, I sound like a ranting madman. The way he says it,
I have to admit, it doesn't sound that crazy to me. It kind of makes sense.
But the way he says it, you're like, wow, yeah, okay, sure, yeah, I buy it.
Yeah.
You know, that to me sounds crazy. There's the I'm trying to remember how the story goes, but a long, long time ago on Darkness Radio, we had a guy on, a young man who claimed he had been, I think it was just a dark story, and it gave me chills. It was so dark, creepy, and ugly. And it was, I think he had said he had been, it was either raped by a fallen angel or a dark angel over and over again in a cave or something to that effect. I mean, it was just disturbing. And that, I remember that story, I tried to block out of my mind a lot. There was that one. But over the years, I mean, there have been entertaining stories that I that I've held on to, that I you know, I get a chuckle out of, that I, you know, I don't know that I want to name them on air because people will go, oh yeah, you know. And I don't ever like to put it this way, Ursula. I will try not to or never ridicule somebody for their stance on the air unless they were so blatantly, obviously wrong. And there's only one time we've done that, and that's Ed Ozoski with his EVP, where he wouldn't back down. The Is My Baby Save It? And, you know, that EVP, that's the only time we've ever gone after somebody hardcore. Because we reversed it on air and showed him that that wasn't what it said. But I won't ever go after somebody for their stance on air. And I don't think people understand why. You know, we live in a society where it's okay to attack people on air. I'm not in agreement with that, you know. You come on a show like this to present your point of view. You come on a show like this because you've experienced something and you want a place to present it.
It's a haven from that culture, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, why not? You know, it's okay to be challenged on it. You know, absolutely. You know, why do you think you saw this? Why couldn't it have been this? It's okay to be challenged. There's nothing wrong with being challenged. There's definitely something wrong with being ridiculed. There's a difference. It doesn't matter if a listener thinks that something's crazy. Somebody else out there who's listening, may ring so true with them. That may be the ultimate truth that they're listening to right now. And another listener may be listening to it and going, you know what, I just can't deal with this. And we've run into both scenarios in one show. So, you know what, it's not my job. It's not my job to judge. It's just not. So, you know, I would love to see it. Yeah, Andrew Bushago. I'd love to see him at Chicago Ghost Con. I'd love to see Art Bell. But I think Andrew Bushago would be – I think he's the one that would be doable, that would be interesting. Time travel. I haven't seen a lot of time travel addressed, I guess.
Well, I think Jeff Lander, who's – going to be at our con again. Jeff Lander, of course, the writer and location scout for Ghost Adventures. Mm-hmm. He's been working on time travel for
a
good many years.
He talks about it, but he's never been to the Crucifixion, Ursula.
True.
He didn't stand near Lincoln at the Gettysburg Address, and he's never been in the Huffington Post for it. You know?
Well, we should do a is there a time travel con that you know of?
You know, not that I know of.
We should do one.
Oh, yeah, the timey-wimey con.
We got two people so far that can come.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'd even be interest in that.
I think everybody's interested in time travel.
Yeah? That would be interesting, that's for sure.
I think so.
That's for sure. Well, Chicago Ghost Con is this weekend, as this airs, this weekend. And again, very limited tickets. Darknessevents.com, click on the banner. If there's even tickets available, there might be one or two at the door that you could get. Again, if there's even tickets available. It's in Lombard, Illinois at the Brower House, right?
That's correct, yeah. Okay.
And it's, again, the last event of the year that Dave and I will be at. Be sure to come out and say hey to us. Jeff Belanger will be there. Jeff Mudgett will be there. Brian Cano will be there, like Ursula said. Lots of great paranormal speakers this weekend talking about all kinds of things. Ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, Mothman, much, much more. It runs the gamut this weekend. It's not just a conference about ghosts. It's well-rounded. It's a beautiful area in Chicago, Illinois, in Lombard there. And you don't want to miss it, folks. It's Chicago in the fall, by gosh. You can't get much more perfect than that. Ursula, any last thoughts here before we wrap up tonight?
It has been a pleasure talking to you, Kent. Tim, as I told you on the break, coming on your show, the quality of your show, the quality of the conversation for me, who's been involved in the paranormal for 35 years, it is night and day with everybody else. This is good stuff. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for being here, Ursula. We appreciate you. Every time you come on, it's a great show, and we appreciate you as well. Folks, tomorrow, another great show, more high strangeness here on the best in paranormal talk radio, Beyond the Darkness. And again, this weekend, Chicago Ghost Con. Don't miss it. Get your tickets at darknessevents.com. And folks, again, join us again tomorrow night for more high strangeness here on the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.